Well, amen, brother. Praise the Lord, from whom all the blessings flow. Actually, I heard this song in the mountains of North Carolina a long time ago, and I really like it. And I hope it's a blessing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Traveling life's highway.
You were talking about being a mutt. My wife was talking to me one day. She'd talked to Jay, and he was talking about the family, just reminiscing, and, you know, how the Lord's been good to us. And he was talking about how, you know, he found his wife at Hiles Anderson College, how Clay had found his wife at Hiles Anderson College. And he said, Christy, he said, you just rolled the dice. He said, Mom and Dad, you know, I just rolled the dice with you. So I identify with being the mutt of the family. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jay. You've been a blessing this week already and gonna be. We're working him. See all that money he saved driving? Yeah. See that? There you go. We thank God for Brother Terry Angel. And I was excited when our pastor said that he would be coming this year. And I got familiar with Brother Angel at youth conference in Oklahoma City, and there are just some preachers that when they preach, it grabs your heart, but it's Bible, and like last night, it's just, you know, you take something, the flesh and the spirit, and make it just down where you can, it's like, yeah, that's it, the hedge today. It's just like, you know what, if God just pulled this thing down, we'd all be dead. I mean, this nation would be, we're gone. We as Christians, it's over. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do to us. But when we look at that scripture, all we look is at Job. We don't look at the power Satan has and the hedge that God has protecting us. And just some wonderful messages. But Brother Angel, we sure appreciate you and what you've done down through the years for this youth conference, and you've been a blessing not only to me but our pastor and our church, and we thank God for you. Come and preach to us this afternoon.
Much, Brother Davis. There we go. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 11. I've enjoyed the morning services. I need preaching. Preachers need preaching. Amen. You heard about that preacher that was trying to sell. He was out riding his bike, and he came upon a little boy who was selling a lawnmower. And the preacher said, "Son," he said, "I don't have any money, but I need a lawnmower, and if you're willing, I'll trade you this bike for that lawnmower." And the little boy, man, he got all excited. He said, "You mean you trade me this bike, your bike, for this lawnmower?" And the preacher said, "Yeah, I'd do that. Here," he said, "take it for a ride. Take the bike for a ride. See if you like it." So the little guy hopped on the bike, man, rode down the road, six or seven blocks, and came back. And he said, "Preacher, that was what?" He said, "That's what?" He didn't go say it. He said, "Man," he said, "that's wonderful." You know, he's talking to a preacher. He said, "That's wonderful." He said, "Man," he said, I like the bike." He said, "I'll take it. If you want the lawnmower, I'll trade you." And so the pastor said, "Okay," and they shook hands. And the little boy jumped on the bike, started down the road, and the pastor started toward the house, pushing the lawnmower. And he thought to himself, he said, "Man, I'm stupid." He said, "I didn't even see if this thing works." So he reached down and he grabbed the rope and he yanked on it three or four times. It didn't even fire. So he hollered and he saw the boy off in the distance. He said, Hey, son, come back here. He said, come back here. So the boy turned around the bike, came over that back down the road. He said, "What's up, sir?" And he said, son, "I've been yanking on this cord. This lawnmower won't start." And the little boy said, "I got so excited about having a bike and making the trade." He said, "I forgot to tell you, it's an unusual lawnmower." He said, you gotta cuss at it to get it to start." And the preacher said, "Cuss at it?" He said, "Son," he said, "I'm a pastor." He said, "I've been saved for 40 years and I've been preaching for 25 years. He said, I forgot how to cuss." The little boy just looked at him and smiled and he said, "Sir, you just keep yanking on that rope. It'll come back to you." Amen. And that's about the truth. Preachers need preaching. And I've enjoyed the preaching this morning. I enjoyed the preaching on the hedge and I enjoyed the preaching on the race. I saw Brother Grice up here talking about those races. You know, Brother Grice, I grew up in Georgia. I grew up an hour and 20 minutes from Mecca, Talladega. I never got into racing. To me, it's always drive fast, turn left. I don't know, that's all you do. Amen, that's all they do, drive fast, turn left. But I enjoyed watching him. He's talking about that marijuana smoke that other preacher was getting high on. I thought Brother Grice was getting high on talking about the racing, man. He was into it, and I enjoyed the messages and enjoyed what they had to say this morning. They both talked about dogs. And Brother Grice talked about dog, and Brother Davis. By the way, Brother Grice, it was back in the bathroom, in the stall, and you never believe what I saw back there. Lighthouse Baptist Church, Grand Prairie, Texas. Somebody moved your sign in the stall back there. Amen. So that's a blessing. All right, it's there. All right, so that's a blessing. Carl Hatch just recently went to heaven just a few weeks ago, and he was in an airport one time and. You've been in those men's room in the airports. There's how many stalls are there in those airport bathrooms? And Brother Hatch had his pocket full of tracks. And he walked down there. He'd look underneath the stall. If he saw a pair of feet, he'd throw a track and, "Here, read this while you wait." go to the next stall. Look underneath. "Here, read this while you wait. Here, read this while you wait. Here, read this while you wait. Thank you." He's walking down the terminal later on. He comes up on a gate and he sees Dr. John R. Rice sitting there waiting to catch a flight. So he sneaks up behind him and says, "Hey, Brother John, how you doing?" Brother Rice, reading his Bible, didn't even look up. He said, "Carl, was that you that threw me a track a little while ago?" So, amen. So, you got some good reading material in one of the stalls back there. Amen. Lighthouse Baptist Church. But you guys know, I never grew up around cats. We grew up around dogs. We didn't have a cat. My mother tried to get a cat one time, got a Siamese cat. The thing was absolutely devil. It was demon possessed. Demon possessed. Ran and jumped on the curtains and clawed things. It was demon possessed. I don't know what happened to it. I just know it was gone. Hey. And I grew up around dogs, but you know how to make a cat bark, ladies. Do you know how to make a cat bark? What you do is you just saturate it with lighter fluid. Throw a match on it and it goes woof. think I just offended the sensitive crowd, Brother Reed. Amen. All the thing you couldn't do, you couldn't offend them. I just offended the sensitive crowd. All right. So I'm just, what is that disclaimer? Do not try this at home. It's only intended for, you know. All right. So we won't do that. All right. Amen. But I enjoyed the messages. And I hope you young people will listen to what Brother Grice said about not wasting your teenage years. I was not saved until I was 18 years of age. And what he said is so true. Man, how many times would I have loved to go back now and relived the years that I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, but they're gone. And I know exactly what you mean, brother, and I can identify with what you say by you're trying to pour as much as you can into teenagers now to get them to live for God, maybe to make up for some of the time you and I lost. Amen. Amen. So you people, I hope you'll listen to that. Matthew chapter 11, let's stand please and look down at verse number 20. Now you've been sitting in the services already this morning, two services already, and I want to jump right into the message, give it to you. Lunch is waiting, and that's always a good thing, and we'll get to that. So verse number 20 of Matthew chapter 11, and our Bible says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done." And here's why. Because they repented not. Then Jesus says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Meaning Sodom would still be in existence instead of being a tar pit. Okay. "But I say unto you," verse 24, "that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Now, young people, when the Bible repeats itself, and Jesus is doing the speaking here, when the Bible repeats itself, when Jesus repeated himself, he didn't do it because he ran out of something to say. It repeats itself, he repeats himself for sake of emphasis. Twice, he says it will be more tolerable for those other cities than it will be for you in the day of judgment. So I want to think about that this morning for a few moments, and I want to talk to you on the subject, it's not apples to apples. You ever heard anybody make that statement? It's not apples to apples. It's not a fair comparison. Okay? It's not apples to apples. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for what our hearts have already experienced this morning. My ears have heard truth. And I pray, Lord, that it settled down in my heart. I know you were in it because, God, I got some sermon thoughts from some seed thoughts from Brother Reed's message and from Brother Grice's message that I hope that you'll help me develop to preach to our folks back in Bourbonnais, some things that you spoke to my heart about that I think you could use to speak to others. So I pray that you'll help us to already, Lord, to have decided to make a decision about what we've already heard today. And then, Lord, bless this message. Now, these young people, this is the third message this morning. Lord, they can get something if they want to. They can pay attention and listen, and I pray that you'll help them to concentrate, give it their best shot for these several minutes, and then we'll be done, ready for the afternoon. So bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Let me encourage you to keep your Bible open. Jesus Christ had a very short but effective preaching ministry, 3.5 years. Dr. Smith, how long have you been preaching? 45 years, Brother Smith has been preaching. Jesus preached for 3.5. Brother Grice, how long have you been preaching, brother? 10 years. Brother Grice has already had a longer preaching ministry than Jesus had. I've been preaching 29 years. If you go back to before Bible college when I did my first sermon, then I've been preaching 33 years, 34 years. So I have had a longer preaching ministry than Jesus Christ had. He had a 3.5 year preaching ministry. His preaching ministry was limited to a very small geographical area, Palestine. Just a few miles, if you will. I know Brother Smith has been on the mission field. I have had the privilege myself to go to Argentina, to go to Canada, to go to Mexico, to go to New Zealand, to go to Australia, to go to Ukraine, to Russia. I mean, I've had the privilege in France. I've had the privilege to preach on the mission field. I have the privilege to go to several foreign countries to preach. The preaching ministry of Jesus Christ was limited not only to a time span of 3.5 years, it was limited to a geographical area that is not even the size of Texas. Okay? Very small. Now, it was short in time. It was limited geographically, but it was powerful. His ministry and preaching was validated by miracles, miracles of healing and miracles of provision to prove He was God. And because His ministry was limited to such a small time span, and because His preaching ministry was limited to such a small geographical area, and because His ministry was so powerful, now watch this, the cities where He ministered were held accountable for what they had seen and what they had heard. Now Jesus is on a preaching tour. And in verse number 20, the Bible says He began to upbraid the cities. The word upbraid means to defame, to chide, to rail. You know, the sweet, lovely, and patient, and gracious Jesus Christ was also full of truth and justice. And if I can say this, young people, He had His stomach full of certain cities that had so much given to them, but they had not responded. And the Bible says He began to upbraid them. He calls them by name. In verse number 21, he talks to Chorazin. And in verse number 21, He talks to Bethsaida. In verse number 23, He talks about Capernaum. And He says to these cities, woe! That's a strong word when you find it in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 5, the passage that Brother Reed read from, if you continue on past verse number 7, reading verse 8 through the end of the chapter, you'll find God over and over again say, woe, 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 woe. You get to the book of Revelation, and you'll find that where they have the word woe in the book of Revelation, the word woe means great grief upon you. Great grief upon you, Chorazin. Great grief upon you, Bethsaida. Great grief upon you, Capernaum. And He compares them to three Old Testament cities, Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom. And Jesus says to Chorazin, and He says to Bethsaida, and He says to Capernaum, if the mighty works that have been done in your presence, the mighty works that have been done in your sight, the mighty works that have been done in your hearing, the mighty works that have been done in your face, if those same mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, they would have repented. Repented is not what Brother Grice was describing a little while ago, a little emotional workup at camp that only lasts about 3 days. Brother, repentance is being changed. Repentance is being different. Repentance is you're going this direction, and all of a sudden God gets a hold of your heart, and you turn and you go a different direction. And Jesus said, if the mighty works had been done in you that were done in Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, they would have been different cities that would have made a difference in those cities, but you haven't changed. It hasn't changed you. It hasn't affected you one spit. He said, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, you've seen it all. You've heard it all. You've witnessed power and light and grace and mercy and truth and miracles and preaching. Jesus Himself walked in your towns and it has not changed you one bit. Those other places would have repented in sackcloth and ashes and fallen on their faces and begged for mercy, and they would have been different. I want to show you something here real quick, all right? I need three guys. Maybe this is you three guys that are right here, if you three guys on the edge. Come on up here if you would, please. And we're going to let this first guy right here, if you'll be on the left side of the platform, we'll let this guy right here be in the middle, we'll let this guy over here be on the right side of the platform. We're going to let this guy over here, what's your name?
Jeremiah.
We're going to let Jeremiah represent the Old Testament cities of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom. Okay? Jeremiah is the Old Testament cities of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom. What's your name, young man?
Brett.
We're going to let Brett represent Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Chorazin, the New Testament cities where Jesus preached and worked. Okay? Old Testament cities, days of Jesus cities, okay, where he walked and preached and taught. What's your name, bud? Kyle? I have a grandson named Kyle. That's a good name. We're going to let Kyle represent me and you. Kyle's going to represent the New Testament church age. Okay? Now, Jesus said to these cities, Jesus said to the cities that Brett represents, if the same works had been done here, if the same works that were done here, okay, all the preaching you've heard, all the miracles you've seen, if all the things you have seen and heard had been done over here, these folks would have gotten on their knees, begged for mercy, repented of their sin, and been different. The things you've heard, the things you've seen that haven't affected you, haven't changed you, haven't made an impact in your life, would have brought those people to tears of repentance. In John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples that since he was going to his Father, greater works will ye do than what I did. You with me this morning? Okay. So we got, those cities in the Old Testament, Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom, they witnessed maybe some works, a little works. These cities, they witnessed the work of Jesus Christ Himself personally. This New Testament church age, Jesus said, you're going to witness greater works than, by the way, folks, when did Jesus ever preach and have 3,000 people saved? You know, the hem of Jesus' garment, the lady touched it and she was healed of her disease. Did you know that the shadow of Peter passing over people, the shadow of Peter passing over people healed them? You tell me which is greater. They're both pretty great, aren't they? Touching somebody's, the hem of their garment and being healed, and then somebody's shadow passing over a sick person and they're healed. Jesus said, you're going to see greater works, more powerful works, more wonderful works, more works, just the number-wise, the quantity is going to be more in this New Testament church age than what He's done. I'm going to ask you a question. If the works that were done and seen here had been done over here, and over here, those works would have brought repentance, and over here, these works did nothing. Okay? And then we're seeing greater works, more works than what they saw. Are you being changed? Are you being affected? Is what's happening at your church, is what's happening at the youth conferences you go to, is what's happening at the camps you attend. Is it changing you? I don't mean getting emotional and shedding a few tears on testimony night around the bonfire where you throw another stick in. Are you being changed? Is your music different today than it was last summer when you testified that it was going to be different? Have you lost some friends that you were running with last summer, but because of camp or youth conference, you made a decision, you got on your face at an altar, maybe hot tears streamed down your face, and you made a decision about the friends, and your group of friends has changed from last year to this year because of the things you decided on at camp or his conference last summer, the preaching you heard. Maybe what you see in your own local New Testament church, you see people in town who have a horrible reputation of being wild and crazy, and they walk forward and they get saved and they follow the Lord in believers baptism, and then their life begins to change, their marriage improves, their children get in church, they start working a bus route, God starts using them, and you see that, you witness that with your own eyes. You see the change of life that takes place. You have music in your church. The choir sings. The people sing the special music. And God blesses it. And you hear it. And you sense the Spirit of God all in the church service. God is working all around you. God is working through camps and working through conferences and working in your local church. Are you being changed? Are you? Is it making an impact on your life? If not, why not? Jesus said, if that crowd had heard and seen what you've heard and seen, they would have fallen on their knees, repented, and made some changes. Why hasn't it affected you? That's what he was saying to Chorazin. Now, thank you, fellas. You may be seated. That's what he was saying to Bethsaida. That's what he was saying to Capernaum. Why haven't you repented at all of these works that have been done in your behalf? Young people, I don't want to be ugly this morning, but do you understand what you have been given in this New Testament church age? Brother Reed said he's glad he lives in the New Testament church age. So am I. Do you understand what we have that the people who came before us in the Old Testament didn't have? Do you understand that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit? You say, well, Brother Angel, didn't they have the Holy Spirit? Yes, they had the Holy Spirit, but it didn't live in them. He came upon them. And the truth of the matter is, if you study that Old Testament out, you'll find out that the Holy Spirit came upon the kings, and it came upon the priests, and it came upon the judges, and it came upon this person and this person. It seems like he only came on people who were in positions of influence and power. But in this New Testament age, not only are we indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's power is available for every teenage boy and every teenage girl. Any Christian who wants to be used of God can have the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost. Old Testament, it wasn't like that. We have the whole thing. 66 books. The complete canon of Scripture. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. They didn't have that in Jesus' day. They didn't have that through the first century Christianity to the very end. It was finally all assembled, all completed, all given to man in paper, on paper. You and I have the whole book. Everything from cover to cover. There's so much that we enjoy, so much that we have. Do you understand what you have in the Holy Spirit? Do you understand what you have in a complete Bible? Do you understand what you have in your local New Testament church? Young person, I want to tell you something. As a pastor this morning, and I think the other pastors who are here will agree with me, our churches spend an unbelievable amount of time and money on youth related ministries. You know, you say, well, boy, you know, we come here, we pay our $65 and we get our food and we get it, you know, and we pay for what we get. Who's paying for the air conditioning? Well, it's 100 degrees outside. How much money did you put into these new pews so that you could sit in comfort this morning? Our churches spend unbelievable amounts of man hours, time and money on youth-related ministries, Christian schools, Sunday schools, teen activities, teen conference, special teen meetings, teen camps, thought and planning and effort and sweat and toil to provide the very best that you could possibly have church-wise for a teenager. Your parents bringing you back and forth to school, spending gas money while the bus passes right by your house and they pay for the money that goes in those buses and don't ever use it. They pay for the gas that goes in those buses, don't ever use it. The highest item on your parents' tax bill, property tax bill, the most expensive item on their tax bill is the public school system. The second most expensive item on your parents' property tax bill is the school system's retirement plan. And they never use it. They're shelling out big bucks to a public school system that denies there's even a God and teaches us that we came from monkeys and teaches us that homosexual living is an alternate lifestyle. And if you're homosexual, it's not your fault because you probably got a gene. And then they turn around and pay $200, $250, $300. We have families in our church, men in our church, shelling out $500 a month to Faith Baptist Academy to put their kids in a Christian education environment. On top of what they give the government, Brother Ogden. You guys don't have any idea. I hear these guys talk sometimes, Brother Grice. They're 18, 17, still got pimples. I'm going to go out and be my own man. Good. Let me see what you got in here. You have no idea what it costs to even live. None. I'm just telling you, young people, I'm not being ugly this morning, but there is unbelievable amount of time and man hours and sweat and planning that goes into the youth ministries of our churches. All of it has been, I'm telling you something, I look at our summer schedule and our men, our staff men, and we are coming and going all summer long for our kids. I mean, good night. Last week we had junior camp, and 2 or 3 weeks ago we had primary day camp, and now this is basketball camp, and it's volleyball camp, and then it was youth conference, and then in a few weeks it'll be football camp. And our whole area, all of our churches that run together, Brother Woodward, Brother Gomez, Brother Ballard, our church, so much time and energy is put into the kids. The youth. You name me one country, just one, where the youth have been given as much as you have. And before you start rattling off, maybe you've got to talk to somebody who's been to some of those countries. I'm talking about man hours of time. I'm talking about dollars invested. Canada? Oh, no. Mexico? There are 3 youth conferences going on this week. 3! Here, Oklahoma City, and Indiana. There's another big leadership conference going on in California. I know of 1 youth conference in Canada. One. Mexico? Philippines, Argentina, Africa. There is not a country on the face of this planet where the young people of churches, Baptist churches, have had more money, more time, more thought, more planning, more sweat, more this, more that invested into the youth than the United States of America. Baptist young people. Is it changing you? Has it made a difference in your life? You've heard it all. Come on, look at me. even if you're only in ninth grade, what Jay Reed and I preached last night, what Jay Reed and Brother Grice preached this morning, what I'm preaching right now, you've heard it before. We've heard it all. We've seen it all. We've experienced it all. We've been to it all. We've received it all. Has it changed you? Huh? Because here's the thing. After Jesus told them that if the same things had been done here, that were done here, these folks would have repented, and you haven't. Then Jesus told them, when you stand at the judgment, what has been done in you compared to what has been done in other places is not apples to apples. And he said it's going to be a lot more tolerable in the day of judgment. Listen to me, young people, for the folks who never saw it and never heard it and never experienced it than it is for those who heard it and saw it and experienced it. Jesus said, if you think you're going to see what they did not see and hear what they did not hear and realize what they did not realize and the judgment is going to be the same, you are dead wrong. He said, on judgment day, and there is one coming. He said on judgment day, the inhabitants of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom will stand and they will suffer great punishment, but it will not be near the punishment that Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. It's the old truth, young people, of to whom much is given, much shall be required. You know what? I am sure that you probably enjoy the youth activities, and I'm sure you probably enjoy the youth camps, and you probably enjoy the youth conferences. You probably enjoy all the things that are done for you, the basketball camps, the volleyball camps, the Christian school, the sports, the activities, all the things that go into you as teenagers in an independent Baptist church. I'm sure you enjoy all those things, but let me tell you something. There's something you need to realize about all those things that are done on your behalf. They're all going to rise up and witness against you someday. They're all going to rise up and witness against you. Do you realize that everything done on your behalf will be used as a witness against you? You see, here's a man from Tyre. He's standing on the day of judgment. Beside him is a man from Bethsaida, and he's standing on the day of judgment. And God the judge looks out, and he judges righteously, and he judges justly. And he says, okay, man from Tyre. He said, you know what? You heard some things and saw some things, and you're going to suffer some punishment. But you over here in Sidon, you over here in Capernaum, man, you saw twice as much as he did. You heard three times more than he did. You experienced four times more than he did. And God, the judge of all, says, your punishment's going to be greater than his. Because to whom much is given, much shall be required. You realize, young people, that I know sermons may bore you from time to time, but do you understand that every minute of study that goes into a sermon will rise up against you in witness someday? Do you understand, young person, that every hand that takes, every minute spent designing a banner like that, the thought that the man put into it, the time he put into it, you realize that all of that will rise up is as a witness against you someday? Do you realize that every anxious minute a Sunday school teacher spends concerned about their lesson, you know, they're at home all week long thinking, Lord, help me make this good for the boys. Help me make this understandable. Help me make this fun. Help me make this where they can get it. And then you come in and slink in without a Bible and slouch down in your seat and act like you're bored to death. You realize, young man, that every minute that teacher invested in that Sunday school lesson is going to rise up in judgment against you someday. Every minute a choir spends practicing, every minute a special music person spends practicing to come to the pulpit, to come to the choir box and provide us with music that we enjoy and we wave our hands at and say, man, that's good. Every one of those is going to rise up in judgment against us someday. Every minute that your youth director spends planning another activity is going to rise up in judgment against you someday. Every dollar your dad spent, every dollar your mom spent is going to rise up in judgment against you someday. Every tear that's been shed, all the people have done, all the staff, all the work, all the toil that goes into making something like this possible is going to rise up as a witness against you someday. It's not going to be apples to apples. You pluck a let me bring this down home. August of 2007, myself and six other people from our church go to Ukraine and Russia. The reason for the trip is because I've been invited to preach at a youth camp in Simferopol, which is down in the Crimean Peninsula, the very bottom of the Ukraine. Not a couple hours' drive from the Black Sea. Beautiful area. Beautiful area. We make some other plans to go in other places to visit some other missionaries. We have a missionary from our church who's south of Moscow, about 300 miles. And so we make plans with him. And we land in Kiev and preach at a church in Ukraine. And then we go by train during the night to Moscow. And when I'm on that train and we were traveling through Russia, I can't believe what I'm seeing. It's 1930s, 1940s. I can't believe it. I won't even go into describing to you everything, but old wooden train cars, and you go to the bathroom, and nasty old tin steel seats and things in the bathroom stinks to high heaven. We go by train to Simferopol. Get to Simferopol for the youth camp, and here's this building. Here are these teenagers coming from other places and cities in Russia and Ukraine. They got one little bag, a sack. It's not a suitcase. It's a sack. They're going to be there Monday through Thursday. It's a sack. And everything they have for the whole week is in that little sack. And when they go to the bathroom, there are not stools and urinals. There's a little hole in the ground. As hot as it is in Texas, no air conditioning. I watch as they string a rope between two trees, not a net, a rope, and get a battered volleyball and play and squeal and laugh and jump around like a bunch of monkeys on the end of an organ, having the time of their life playing volleyball over a rope. I'm watching all that. I'm watching them coming to the services. I'm hearing the singing blowing out the roof. I'm watching them do some skits that our teenagers were watching 25 years ago. If we did the skits today, everybody would go, oh, brother. And I'm seeing these kids just roll out in laughter. Look, I don't like comparisons. I know we're living in America. I know some preachers who've done some harm to their churches by going to visit the Philippines. Then they come back and they get on their people for not being Filipinos. We're American. We're not Filipinos. Okay? Oh, they sit for 6 hours on benches. We have pews in America. But I am saying, I think you can make a, I think you can go too far on this thing of comparisons. But I want you young people to listen to me very carefully, very, very carefully. On judgment day, at the judgment seat of Christ, if you are if you have never repented, if you've never changed, if you've never been impacted by all the Sunday school lessons and all the youth conferences and all the youth camps and all the music, and you're still dabbling in your rock music, and you're still bored to death with church, and you happen to end up standing by one of those teenagers from Russia, I would suggest that you find another place to stand. Because if you think for 1 minute that as an American teenager, getting all that God has given you, and being stubborn and hard-hearted and never wanting to get on track and get in gear and go full throttle, if you think all that you've been given as an American teenager is going to be judged equally by what that Russian teenager has been given, according to what principle that Jesus laid down, it ain't going to be the same. I'm simply saying these things are wonderful. These things are great. I'm for all the camps. I'm for all the conferences. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Reed, as a pastor who's watching the budget now more carefully than we had to 12 months ago, 24 months ago, and I see all the dollars invested in our teenagers and the time of staff men invested. What are you doing this afternoon? Planning this for the youth activity. What are you doing this afternoon? Planning this camp. What are you doing this afternoon? Planning this junior camp. Planning these skits. Planning vacation Bible school. Planning, 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 planning. What are you doing? I've been working in the night planning for the skits at vacation Bible school. What are you doing? I've been working through the night working on, I mean, the hours of time and the dollars poured into our teenagers so that they can come to church and you think it's going to be the same? That Jesus is going to just look at you someday and say, well, you know, I really understand. I understand. You couldn't make a decision. I understand. You had a lot of peer pressure. And you know, a lot of guys didn't want to serve God. And you were kind of in the group. So, you know, I'll give you a pass. You think that's going to happen? We are blessed. We're saturated. We're stuffed. We're overfed spiritually. It's been crammed down our throats. And we haven't done anything with it. When some of these folks stand beside us at the judgment seat of Christ, come from these places where they had one event a year. One event a year. And when they had to go to the bathroom, they had to squat over a hole. And string a rope so they could hit the volleyball. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. For all you had, all you were given, and it never How did that thought sink in this morning? We cut the conference off right now. Everybody goes home. You folks have received in the last 36 hours more than some teenagers in other countries will receive in 12 months. So blow it off. Go ahead. Blow it off. You hear me very carefully. Everything you've heard, witnessed, and seen will rise up in judgment against you someday. I think the smart thing to do is to make it count. Receive it. Take it. What's God talking to your heart about this morning? There's folks all over this room. You're not on track. There's folks all over this room this morning. You're kicking at the hedge. You're kicking at that hedge. You're kicking at the hedge of home, kicking at the hedge of church, because you're a man. You want to do your own thing. What's God said to you today? What's He fed you with today? What's He done for you today? These songs, these services, these messages, last night, last Sunday, last week at camp, last new thing you did, all that God has given you, huh? Has it changed? Because on Judgment Day, it's not apples to apples. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I wonder who would say, Brother Angel, during Brother Reed's message this morning on kicking at the hedges, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I understand what he was preaching about. And God got in my soul and warned me about being rebellious against home and church and the things that God has put in my life to protect me as a hedge. And during that message, I received something, and I'm not going to let that pass. I need to do something about it, and I need to do it today. Would you raise a hand all over the room? Put it up in the air. Put it right back down. Come on. All right, there you go. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I heard something in Brother Reed's message that spoke to my heart. I am not going to let that pass. How many of you heard something in Brother Grice's message on getting on track, getting in gear, going full throttle? And you said, you know, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, Brother Angel. Something that he said moved me, stirred me. And I don't want to receive that and not do anything with it. Pray for me. I heard something in that message that God used. Would you raise your hand? I see those hands. Amen. Keep them up just for a minute, all right? God bless you. You may take them down. How many of you said, Pastor Angel, the truth that was just presented to us out of Matthew chapter 11, maybe I never really thought about that before, but I don't want to be guilty of receiving so much and not being changed by it. Not having it impact my life. I see that I've been given so much. I'm afraid I've wasted already so much. Pray for me. The Spirit of God just spoke to my heart very clearly. Would you raise your hand in the room this morning? God bless you. Now, that was most everybody in the room in one of those three questions. So now I'm just going to ask you, what are you going to do with what you've heard? It's not always a big change, folks. Although there will be those sermons. I think it was Brother Reed last night. Said there will be those sermons that will just absolutely, you'll never forget them. They'll change your life, make an impact forever. But it's every sermon. It's every youth activity. It's every camp. It's every conference. Just taking something home and having it impact my life. Changing it in just a little way, if need be. But not just letting it go. If you raised your hand during Brother Reed, the question about Brother Reed's message, the question about Brother Grice's message, or the question about this message, and that was most of us, when the invitation begins, it's time to not just come down here and make a scene. It's time to come down here and kneel and tell God specifically, Lord, you gave me this last night. You gave me this morning. You gave me this thought, and I don't want to lose it. And I want to do something with it that will change my life. Dear Father, bless the invitation. Bless these teenagers. We have given them so much in our churches. You have blessed us with so much to be able to give to our teenagers. Money and time and events and planning. God, may they not waste it. As Brother Grice implored upon them, God, he shared his heart about wasting those teenage years. God, please help a young man or a young woman this morning to make a decision. The things that they have received, they will not waste. Help them, Lord, to fear with a righteous fear, standing before you someday and standing beside another teenager from a foreign country who received far less. Make an impact on their life, I pray. Now, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand, please, as the piano.